Invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16 will be our text for the morning message. People call them untouchables, and they are the ultimate outcasts. Members of the lowest caste in the Hindu community, they spend their entire lives outside the socially acceptable relationships of Indian society. They are ostracized, so much so that they do not receive the ordinary protections of Indian law. They are considered too impure, too polluted to rank as worthy beings. They are shunned, insulted, banned from temples and higher caste homes, and made to eat and drink from separate utensils in public places. And in extreme but not uncommon cases, they are raped, burned, lynched, and gunned down. Because the untouchables are considered physically and ceremonially unclean, they are compelled to do any work that involves physical contact with blood, excrement, and other bodily defilements, as defined by Hindu law. Untouchables cremate the dead, clean latrines, cut umbilical cords, remove dead animals from roads, tan hides, sweep gutters. These jobs and the status of being an untouchable are passed down from generation to generation. Nobody wants to be an untouchable. Nobody even wants to touch one. The untouchables in the time of Jesus were lepers. Leprosy was an infectious skin disease. It's quite common in biblical times, and unfortunately, leprosy is still with us today. According to the ceremonial law of Moses, found in Leviticus chapter 13, and I quote, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." In our text for our consideration this morning, we find Jesus' encounter with such an unclean person, a man whose skin was covered with leprosy. And so I invite your attention as I read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12 through verse 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Think with me this morning about this subject, touching the untouchable. Touching the untouchable. There is healing power in the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus touched a leper, a man who was considered unclean. And by doing so, Jesus not only healed him, but Jesus gave him new hope and new life. When Jesus touched this leper, Jesus took a very countercultural step. No one in Jesus' time would touch a leper. Jesus did the unthinkable when he touched this man who had leprosy. There's much for us in this passage of Scripture for our consideration this morning. I believe there are at least three stages of this encounter, this dramatic encounter that Jesus had with this man who was covered with leprosy and who walked away that day cleansed by the power of the Son of God. The first stage, found in verse 12, I'm calling desiring Jesus' healing touch. In verse 12, we find this leper who had a great desire to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the healing power of Jesus released in his behalf. Look again with me in verse 12. Luke tells us while Jesus was in one of the towns, he's traveling around from town to town and village to village there in the area around the Sea of Galilee. He's preaching and teaching and casting out demons as we've seen previously, and he's healing the sick. So as Jesus moves about from town to town, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. We can only surmise from this phrase that he was covered with leprosy as that this man had an advanced case of leprosy. Now, lepers were outcasts. Lepers, for the most part, they either lived alone or they lived in the company of other lepers in a leper colony, never inside a village. They were social outcasts, and they survived primarily by begging. Or perhaps they had family members who loved them, but who wouldn't want to come close to them for fear of contracting leprosy, and so they would go and leave some food somewhere at some lonely outpost, and then later the leper would come and get the food in that manner. If a leper were ever to stick his head inside a house of someone, immediately that house would be condemned and declared to be unclean. It was illegal for a person to greet a leper on the street. And apparently lepers had a horrendous body odor about them. If you were upwind from a leper, if you were upwind from a leper, you could get within 100 cubits of a leper. But if you were downwind, 6 cubits, which is about 6 yards. And so you couldn't get close to one for the smell. Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, said that lepers were treated as if they were dead men. They were like dead men walking. And the rabbis of that day had no hope for a leper to be cured. As far as the rabbis were concerned, the curing of a leper would be about as unlikely as someone being raised from the dead. So we can surmise from all of this that we know about leprosy in the first century that this leper who came to Jesus must have had a miserable existence. Notice I didn't say he had a miserable life. It wasn't a life. It was an existence. And he had a very, very difficult time. However, all of this was about to change because he was about to encounter the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again in verse 12. Luke tells us, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground, and he begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus is the difference maker. And this leper obviously was desperate. He's pushing his way into what apparently is a place where Jesus is teaching the people. And I can imagine the crowd parted as this leper comes in. And perhaps He's crying out as the ceremonial law of Moses commanded, unclean, unclean, and the people are stepping back. And he comes before the Lord Jesus, and Luke tells us that he fell down before Jesus with his face to the ground. He was desperate. And he was humbling himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Luke tells us that he began to beg. He begged Jesus to heal him. This man was totally devoid of pride. He was about to be helped because he was willing to humble himself before the Son of God. God's healing grace is never given to the proud. It is always given to those who will humble themselves before him. He didn't come and tell Jesus what to do. He wasn't presumptuous. He did not demand. But he humbled himself. He put his face in the ground before the Lord Jesus Christ and begged Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. You can cleanse me. You can transform me. Not only was he humble, but he had faith. He wasn't confident that Jesus would, but he was confident that Jesus could heal him. And so he says, if you're willing. More than anything, this leper wanted to be healed. I want to say that leprosy is a symbol of our sin. None of us here have leprosy. Most of us here have never known anyone who has leprosy. But nevertheless, we are all spiritual lepers. We are all affected by the disease of spiritual leprosy. And this encounter that this leper had with the Lord Jesus Christ is very symbolic of our spiritual condition before God apart from Christ Jesus. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us is spiritually dead. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us is under the just condemnation of God. We are alienated from God, separated from God, without hope in this world and without hope in the world to come. When Paul wrote the Ephesian Christians, in Ephesians chapter 2, he said of those Christians there prior to their conversion, he said, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the power of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That is the condition that every one of us was like before we came to Christ. And if you have yet to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your current spiritual condition. Physically, you may be a picture of good health. Your blood pressure may be normal. Your heart may be ticking fine. There may not be one cancer cell in your body. You may be able to run a marathon with no problem. But if you do not know Christ, you are a spiritual leper. You are diseased through and through, desperately in need of the saving grace of Jesus. J.C. Ryle, the influential Anglican bishop of the 19th century, said of this encounter that Jesus had with this leper, and of all of us who are spiritual lepers, these words: we have in this wonderful history a lively emblem of Christ's power to heal our souls. What are we all but lepers spiritually in the sight of God? Sin is the deadly sickness by which we are all affected. It is eaten into our constitution. It has infected all of our faculties. Heart, conscience, mind, and will are all diseased by sin. From the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there is no soundness about us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Such is the state in which we are born. Such is the state in which we naturally live. We are in one sense dead long before we are laid in the grave. Our bodies may be healthy and active, but our souls are by nature dead in trespasses and sins. So the question arises, who shall deliver us from this body of death? And the answer is, only Jesus Christ. Jesus alone is the divine physician. Jesus alone can cleanse us from our sin and our guilt. Jesus alone can give us spiritual life. Jesus alone can change our affections and give us heavenly affections. Jesus alone can renew our will so that we want to obey God's will for our lives. We find in this encounter that Jesus has with this leper, this man who was desiring the healing touch of Jesus. Now, there's a second stage in this encounter. It's what I'm calling receiving Jesus' healing touch. This healing touch that this leper desired, he received. It is an act of God's grace. Look in verse 13, for we find it described for us in verse 13. So when the man cried out, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Luke tells us in verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and did the unthinkable. He touched the man. He touched the leper. And as he did so, he spoke these words unto him, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This 13th verse in Luke chapter 5 is one of the most amazing statements to be found in all of the Bible. It is filled with insight into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus touched a leper. Jesus touched a man who was considered untouchable. And by doing so, Jesus showed himself to be a man of great compassion. He touched the one that no one else would touch. And he spoke words of cleansing and healing. Jesus said, be clean. Be clean. I'm willing. Be clean. Now, throughout the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find numerous accounts, descriptions of Jesus bringing healing and deliverance to those who were sick and to those who were afflicted and oppressed. Sometimes Jesus would both touch and speak. Sometimes Jesus would just speak. Sometimes when Jesus would speak, most times the person was there before him. Sometimes Jesus would speak the word of healing and the person who was healed was not even in the vicinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way for us to just sort of, you know, say Jesus has to do it this way, this way, this way every time. Not at all. He is sovereign in his healing work. But at this time, Jesus says, I'm willing. Be clean. And instantaneously, a leper was healed by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his touch, Jesus was demonstrating compassion. By his words, be clean, he was demonstrating his power. And so this reveals to us something of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke wants his readers to know that Jesus is no mere man. He is the God-man who has authority like no one else has, even authority over lepers. And so all of this, again, is a symbol of salvation. The great reformer John Calvin summarized the healing effect of Jesus' touch to the leper when he wrote these words: "There is such purity in Christ, he absorbs all uncleanness and pollution. He does not contaminate himself by touching the leper, nor does he transgress the law. He, Jesus, stays whole, clears all our dirt away, and pours upon us his own holiness. Now, while he could heal the leper by his word alone, he adds the contact of his hand to show his feeling of compassion. No wonder, since he willed to put on our flesh in order that he might cleanse us from all our sins." Here's a thing which we pass over without much impression at an idle reading, but we must certainly ponder with much awe when we take it properly, that the Son of God, so far from abhorring contact with the leper, actually stretched out his hand to touch his uncleanness. While no one else would touch a leper for fear of contracting leprosy through the touch, Jesus touched the leper, and by doing so took away the leper's leprosy, took away his uncleanness. That's a symbol of the salvation that Jesus offers to us. Now, Paul put it this way when he wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, "He who knew no sin," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus took our uncleanness. Jesus took our spiritual sickness. Jesus took our condemnation and our wrath upon himself on the cross, and gave to us, in place of our sin and our guilt, gave to us his righteousness. Such is the great marvel and mystery of the gift of salvation. It is beyond credibility to think that somebody could ever imagine that he or she could somehow gain right standing with God by his or her own works. No, not at all. The sight of our holy God, our good works are like filthy rags. Our only hope is found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Have you lost your stains? Have you been cleansed by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no other way but through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. And so Luke tells us that this man who desired Jesus' healing touch comes to Jesus. He's desperate. He humbles himself and he cries out to Jesus. He calls him Lord. He says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus touches him. He said, "I am willing, be clean." And he received the healing that he so desperately wanted from the hand of Jesus. Now, there's a third stage in this narrative I want you to see with me. It's revealed to us in verse 14. It's what I'm calling confirming Jesus' healing touch. Jesus wanted this man to go to the priest and verify that he'd been healed as the Mosaic ceremonial law had commanded. You can read about it later if you'd like in Leviticus chapter 14. But look in verse 14. "Then Jesus ordered him, 'Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.'" And apparently that's exactly what he did. Now, leprosy had been an infectious skin disease that had been around for centuries and centuries. Back in the time of Moses, God gave instructions if someone was to be healed. From leprosy, there was a process that they were to go through over a period of about 8 days. which they could be restored to the company of normal people. And there were rare occasions for this to happen, but occasionally it did. And it's described for us in Leviticus 14. This is what would take place. A priest would meet with the person who had been cleansed from leprosy. He would meet outside the camp. This is during the wilderness wanderings. And he would verify that the person had been healed. Then, still outside the camp, two birds were presented along with some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop. One of the birds was killed in a clay pot so that none of the blood was lost. This was done above fresh water, which was symbolic of cleansing. Next, the live bird, along with the wood, the yarn, and the hyssop, was dipped in the blood, and the blood was sprinkled upon the leper who had been cleansed seven times as he was pronounced clean. This initial ceremony concluded with the live bird being released in the open fields to wing its way to freedom. As a result, the blood-sprinkled person could once again join the community of the people of God. This foreshadowed the effect of Christ's blood, which reconciles us to God and makes it possible for a guilty sinner to be a part of the household of faith. After the bird's release, the cleansed man washed his clothes, shaved his hair from his body. He bathed, and he entered the camp where he, his family, and his friends would rejoice for 7 days. On the seventh day, his head, eyebrows, and beard were shaved, and he again bathed, so that, like a newborn, he was ready to enter into this new phase of his existence. On the eighth day, this former leper, now cleansed, would offer 3 unblemished lambs as a guilt offering, a sin offering, and a burnt offering. The guilt offering was not an atoning sacrifice, but it was restitution for the offerings and sacrifices he was unable to make during his days and years as a leper. His restitution and fresh commitment were then dramatically emphasized when the priest took some of the blood and smeared it on the cleansed leper's right ear, thumb, and toe. And then he covered each smear with a second coating of oil, thereby symbolizing that the man would listen to God's voice, use his hands for God's glory, and walk in God's ways. Finally, his shaved head was anointed with the remaining oil. And then, having all this taken place, this declared that the leper to be in the Lord's service. The priest made atonement for him with sin, burnt, and cereal offerings as a joyous expression of gratitude to God. So that's what the Mosaic Law prescribed. And you can imagine the rejoicing that must have taken place, especially among family members and close friends. This person who had been outside the camp, an outcast, perhaps for decades, had been healed and was now welcomed back into the community of the household of faith. And so when we read in Luke chapter 5, verse 14, that Jesus says, "Go to the priest and show yourself and offer the sacrifices," and that's exactly what Jesus is talking about, what I've just described for you. Now, that sacrifice, those ceremonies that are recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 14 are, again, a symbol of the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ over our sins and for our salvation. So, we find here Jesus touching the untouchable. Jesus did the unthinkable. This man desired to be healed. This man sought healing. He humbled himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus healed him. And then there was the ceremonial process that God had given to Moses when a leper was healed. All of that, both in Leviticus and here in Luke chapter 5, are symbols of our salvation. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced the cleansing power of His blood in your behalf? In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. give you an opportunity to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't close your Bibles just yet. I know it sounds like I'm done, but I'm not. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. If I was just preaching on the leper, I'd have stopped right there at verse 14. But I'm not just preaching on the leper. I'm preaching the book of Luke. There are two more verses here. I'm calling this the postscript. I can't make it fit in any of my homiletical categories. But I've been preaching long enough, it doesn't matter to me anymore. Only one thing matters, and that's getting you the Word of God. I got to get it to you. Look in verses 15 and 16. There's a postscript here. Luke tells us, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Well, that shouldn't surprise us. The word is spreading far and wide, north and south, east and west. It spreads like wildfire. There is a traveling rabbi by the name of Jesus who has the power to heal lepers, to make the lame to walk, the blind to see, who can cast out demons, and crowds and crowds and crowds of people are pressing in to receive ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ. No surprise there. We would be there as well. How was Jesus able to bear up under that incredible, demanding load of ministry? And in verse 16, Luke tells us, this is the secret of Jesus' ministry. Look in verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. When you think about the incredible demands that are placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, how they just pressed in upon him again and again and again, how they so desperately wanted to receive from him some healing touch, how did Jesus bear up? He often withdrew from the crowds and found some quiet, lonely place to spend time in prayer with his Father. As one who is in vocational Christian ministry, that's a good reminder to me. Not that the demands on my time are anything like the demands placed on Jesus, but they are considerable. And I can tell you that if I go more than 2 or 3 days without some extended time alone with the Father in prayer, my soul shrivels up and dries up. And my ministry becomes hard and difficult, and I feel burned out emotionally. That would be true of any minister of the gospel, and quite frankly, it would be true of any one of us who names the name of Jesus Christ, because all of us have been gifted for ministry. My ministry may be the ministry of preaching, but you have a ministry in your office or in your neighborhood. How could we ever think that we could sustain effective, Spirit-filled ministry without extended times alone with God in prayer? It is the height of folly to think that we can do that which God has called us to do in our strength and in our energy and our wisdom. If Jesus needed to often withdraw to lonely places and pray, we must often rush into the presence of the Father and still our soul before him with an open Bible and a teachable spirit and pour out our heart's cry to God and ask for times of refreshing from the Spirit of God to renew us to the work to which he has called us to accomplish. Touching the untouchable. far as I know, there are no lepers in our community. Not physical lepers, but there are plenty of social lepers and others that perhaps we don't want to get close to. Perhaps HIV AIDS is the modern counterpart of first century leprosy. So fearful. We touch someone with AIDS, we're going to contract it. Perhaps it's somebody of a different racial or ethnic group. Somebody of a different social, economic group. That's the way the world operates, but we're the body of Christ. We can't operate that way, folks. There's somebody in my circle of influence, and there's somebody in your circle of influence that needs your compassionate touch. Why not give it? You see, God brings these people across our paths. Not that we would avoid them, but that we would embrace them, sometimes literally embrace them, that they might hear the message of God's saving grace. There is power in touch. There's power in the touch of a parent to a child, of a husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband. Power of touch. 1985, a young lady by the name of Bridget walked down a street in New York City. And yes, the unbelievable happened. A massive crane atop one of the skyscrapers in New York City plunged several stories down onto the sidewalk, and it landed on top of Bridget. Amazingly, she was not killed, but she was pinned to this crane for 6 hours while rescue workers and emergency workers tried to get her out from under that piece of steel. A construction worker by the name of Paul walked over, sat down. He picked up Bridget's hand and he held it for 6 hours. The rescuers eventually pulled her out from under the crane. They rushed her to the hospital. She underwent several surgeries. And after 2 months, she was finally released from the hospital. It was news, and so the reporters were there to cover that release from the hospital. And they asked her this question: would you tell us the one thing that made the difference in surviving this kind of ordeal? And Bridget said, it was that man who sat there and held my hand for those 6 hours. Had it not been for him, I don't believe I would have made it through that experience. There's somebody in your path, somebody in your circle of friends, somebody in your office needs your touch. You can be the hands of Jesus if you will. Let's pray together. God our Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ touched this leper. And we thank you for the powerful symbol of salvation that's declared to us through his touch. Oh Lord, we confess today that your word is absolutely right when it says that we are sinful, we are guilty, we have the disease of sin. It is a terminal disease. We will all experience death apart from your touch. Your saving touch, made possible by the death of Jesus on the cross. So, Lord, we rejoice this day, those of us who are saved, that you've touched us and saved us and cleansed us. Lord, we pray that we might be willing to follow Jesus' example and touch those who are the social outcast of our day. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who've yet to bow before Jesus as this leper did, to humble themselves before Jesus as this leper did, to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you, as this leper did. I pray that even today there'll be some in this room in these next few minutes who will confess Christ and find his healing, saving grace. for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand.